But first, as promised, the post-election recap with Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. And, of course, that's the website where all kinds of election integrity coverage occurs and continues to occur because almost a week after the big November election, votes are still being counted across the country. And we'll get to some of those issues in just a moment. Brad, thanks for joining me, and it's not even December.
Yeah, well, it'll be here soon, and we'll probably still be counting in December, I'm afraid.
But one of the lead stories that you have covered at BradBlog is the switch in format of a very important former progressive talk station in Portland, Oregon, KPOJ. And once upon a time, my syndicated radio show was carried there. And KPOJ was the first successful commercial progressive talk station, and to boot, it is and was owned by Clear Channel. And for it to change format is, I think, an unfortunate and sad tipping point in the uneven development of progressive talk as a category here in American media.
Yeah, it's really disturbing. I mean, it continues to be a disturbing story when these stations are flipped like this. We're now hearing, by the way, that the Seattle station, KPTK, will soon be flipping as well. That's a CBS station. That's not a Clear Channel station. Most of these stations, where we've seen this happen, have been Clear Channel stations. For KPOJ to flip as they did, as quickly as they did, by the way, it looked like they weren't going to flip until Monday. We got word on Friday. But then I think as word leaked out, they said, we don't want to have what happened in San Francisco at Green 960 and San Diego and KLSD, where people get up in arms and start protesting. Let's nip this in the bud and let's flip it at 5:30 tonight. And that's exactly what they did on Friday. KPOJ is also used to be the flagship home for Tom Hartman for years. He was broadcasting out of there. And, you know, this is just, frankly, another, hate to say it, but another absolute outrage and an absolute national disgrace that our public airwaves are treated like this. And there's nobody at the FCC, nobody home, nobody doing anything to make sure that the public interest obligations of these broadcasters are met.
Yeah.
This flipped to a sports station, a Fox Sports format, which I understand, and you could probably tell me better than anybody, that this is also, that Fox Sports is also syndicated by Premier Radio, which is owned by Clear Channel.
That's right.
All of which underscores the fact that there is no free market in talk radio. And so for everyone and all the right-wingers out there who are saying, oh, progressive radio, it doesn't work, it can't make money, the market has spoken, it can't compete, that's complete and utter bullshit. Because when you have a company like Clear Channel, who owns both the right-wing station and the progressive station in the same city, supposedly competing stations, competing against each other, there will be no competition. This is like, you know, if you let Coca-Cola have the sole distribution rights to both Coke and Pepsi in a major city. Which one do you think is going to end up doing better in that case, Coke or Pepsi? I mean, in city after city, Clear Channel owns both the right wing and the progressive station. They put the progressive station on a channel with a much smaller signal, and they don't advertise it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll give you one quick example. Out here in Los Angeles, I fill in from time to time for Mike Malloy on his nationally syndicated show. And when I do, I broadcast out of K-Talk, which is the progressive station here in Los Angeles. I work out of Stephanie Miller's studio to do it. Now, right down the hall from K-Talk is KFI, the right-wing station also owned by Clear Channel, which is heard across about a dozen states at night. Huge signal. K-Talk you can't even hear in the parking lot. But the fact is that KFI, as I understand it, is the number one station in Los Angeles. Not just the number one talk station, but I understand it was for a time, maybe even now, the number one station. Now, do you think the Clear Channel wants to advertise their progressive station, K-Talk, wants to advertise them to take away listeners from KFI and from this, you know, huge ad line that this is. Hey, advertise on the number one station in, you know, one of the largest media markets in the country. Of course not. If you and I, Peter, if we owned K-Talk as an independent station, we would be going after KFI. We would be going after that conservative, so-called conservative talk radio station, trying to destroy them, trying to take away their listeners, going directly at them. They are the direct competition. And, of course, Clear Channel is not going to do that to their own station. And that's the case in city after city after city. And all underscores the fact that there is no competition in talk radio. There is no free market. It is the opposite of what these supposed conservatives on the airway pretend to support.
Well, Brad, a couple of things there. First of all, the KFI is one of the exceptions. When I visit Los Angeles, I always see billboards for KFI. And Clear Channel doesn't spend money on billboards or television spots for really any of its AM talk stations. But they are successful with the conservative formats because they have long-term hosts like Limbaugh and Hannity, and now Michael Savage is back in the mix. And they really don't need to succeed. But because progressive talk is different and was, you know, has still been in what I would call a development phase, any smart business person would say you need to spend money promoting that so that the people and the competing audiences are frankly at NPR. And you need to get their attention and say, hey, there's something here over on that scratchy AM band on a lousy signal that you ought to listen to. But from assigning, you know, first Air America and then the progressive talk lineups to weaker signals, to selecting call letters for like KLSD in San Diego and the Quake in San Francisco, all of these decisions were made by programmers and market managers whose own personal bias is to the right. And with the exception of John Scott at Green 960 in San Francisco, every Clear Channel programmer whom I have encountered was much more comfortable with Rush and Sean and in the Northwest Lars Larson than with the liberal side of their portfolio. And we've seen that play out because over the past year in Los Angeles, you know, they basically turned K-Talk into a mixed lineup. And they did the same thing in San Francisco, where they put Glenn Beck on in place of Stephanie Miller. Right. Now, that coupled with the addition of Dave Ramsey, who pays the station to carry his program, these are moves that were made not for the listeners and not in an effort to make these stations competitive and successful, but to address the interests of the company that owns it. And Glenn Beck was placed on Green 960, now KNEW, because he got bumped off of the bigger station where they needed to make room for Rush Limbaugh. And because Premier owns the Glenn Beck show as well as Rush Limbaugh, they wanted to make sure that Beck had an outlet so that his ratings and ad dollars will be reflected by being on in San Francisco, which is the fifth or sixth media market in the country.
Right.
Now, when we go to Portland, that was the early success story, as I mentioned it a few minutes ago. They had a five share in the second year of KPOJ's life as a liberal talk station. And that was leading the country in terms of both ratings and bottom line revenue success. And as you pointed out, Tom Hartman was hired to co-host the morning show. He moved to Portland to do that. And Mike Dirks, who was the program director, was the guy who oversaw the growth and success of KPOJ. And after he was forced out, and Hartman was quiet about it, but he moved to Washington, D.C., because they didn't want to pay him anymore. And so it was cost-cutting that led to the decline in the ratings, and KPOJ was performing at a mere one share over the course of this election year, and then they chose to wait until just after the election to pull the plug. And yeah. So, you know, all of these moves, in my opinion, and as you know, I follow the industry and I continue to work in it, not as a host, but as a consultant to various programs. I'm pretty familiar with what is going on. And they basically choked off the oxygen, and then they said, well, the patient has flatlined, let's go sports.
Yeah, and, you know, you raise a couple of good points there. One, you say that, you know, this was not done for the benefit of the listeners. It was done for the benefit of the company to try and maximize their dollars in the easiest way possible, really. You know, I would point out that none of it is done in the public interest.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that people need to understand, that FCC licenses are given out to these companies in exchange for almost nothing. The only thing that they're supposed to do in exchange for these broadcast licenses is to serve the public interest. So you need to explain to me, somebody needs to explain to me how it is in the public's interest to take the only commercial progressive station in a town like Portland or San Francisco, both, you know, incredibly progressive towns, how the public interest is served by killing progressive talk and replacing it with a third sports station. I mean, they already have two, as I understand it, in Portland, and we've mm-hmm. seen the same pattern, you know, for example, down in San Diego. So they're not serving their public interest obligations. The FCC is not enforcing that requirement in exchange for these broadcast licenses. But there's another issue at work here, and it comes into play, as you mentioned, with Glenn Beck in Green 960. excuse me. In 1948, there was a case called Paramount Pictures versus United States. And in that case, what we had was back in the 40s, you had the big movie studios owned all of the movie theaters around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they could determine you know, what would be seen by the public and what would not be seen by the public. And it made it very difficult for independent movie studios to get their foot in and, you know, to have any of their films shown. And so this allowed the you know, just a handful of the big major movie studios down here in Los Angeles to dominate the entire industry. Well, this went to court. This went all the way to the Supreme Court. The U.S. Department of Justice at the time, back when we used to have a U.S. Department of Justice.
With an active antitrust division, yes.
Exactly. Took them to court and said, no, this is a violation of antitrust. You're essentially, this is a monopoly. You get to decide what pictures are made, and you get to decide what pictures are seen. And this ended up breaking up the studio system. The big studios were forced to sell off all of their theaters, essentially, around the country. And that brought us what we have today, where you have a lot of independents and so forth getting into the game. Well, the same thing, I would argue, is happening in radio. When you have a station like Green 960, where Stephanie Miller is on in the morning, she's getting respectable ratings, as I understand.
She was, yeah.
And she's then replaced by a right-winger, by Glenn Beck, largely because Premier Radio, which is owned by Clear Channel owns the station, Premier needs to have Glenn Beck on in this major market of San Francisco. As I understand, as Stephanie Miller tells me, he's getting way lower ratings than Stephanie was in that same hour. But apparently that doesn't matter, because it's worth more to Premier Radio and their owners, Clear Channel, to have him on in this major market. Perhaps it makes it easier to sell national ads, however
yep,
it is
that's why.
That it works.
Yeah.
And so, you know, again, they're using the public airwaves that they receive for free from the government largesse, to use our bandwidth on the public airwaves to run their little business that has nothing to do with the public interest, and they're doing so in such a way that ought to be broken up according to antitrust laws, as far as I see it. And if the same thing is true about Fox Sports, and I'm only just now coming to learn this, that in fact Premier is also responsible for distributing Fox Sports, then here we have yet another example of this happening up in Portland, where Clear Channel is using, I would say, abusing its public license to basically keep a monopoly on the airwaves and make sure that only the products that they produce are actually heard over the public airwaves.
Well, and Brad, you informed me, as you did our listeners right at the beginning here, about the threat to KPTK in Seattle, which is owned by CBS.
Mm-hmm.
And what is occurring is there's a huge rollout of a new sports talk format owned by CBS. And they are going to, if your information is accurate, and I have no reason to doubt it, and the trend is very clear, CBS is going to muscle off all of the progressive talk shows from 1190 in Seattle to make way for the company's new all-sports format. And this is a kind of insider business dealing where they use the muscle that they have in owning a station to enhance the distribution.
Yep.
And so I want to warn listeners all across the country that your progressive talk station, if you still have one, is at great risk because CBS is out there either buying stations or making deals to give them enhanced advertising revenues or promotional support. That's how it's done. To bump liberal talk for these new sports formats. And they're all extensions of the television brands. And what it means is that the cynical people who control the radio industry, and there are only seven or eight companies now, have decided that AM talk itself only works for right wing, and so there will be three formats essentially by the middle of next year. The all-news format that CBS does on its marquee stations like KNX in Los Angeles and WCBS in New York, and talk radio that is right-leaning or far-right, and then sports. And beyond that, you're going to have a few comedy stations, a few foreign language stations, and some stations that play nostalgia music. But the dominant formats on AM radio will be reduced to those three by the middle of next year.
Yeah, and it will be, formats that are also owned by the stations, by the companies that also own the stations. I mean, you know, we need the FCC here. We need the Department of Justice here. I don't know if they're coming, but I'll tell you, it's outrageous. And let me reserve some ire for the Democrats and the progressives who will respond to all of this by saying, oh, well, you know what, we don't need them. We've got the internet. You know what, right now, anyway, there are not 15, 20, 30 million people going to and from work every day listening to the internet in their car. They're listening to right-wing propaganda from Rush Limbaugh to Sean Hannity to Glenn Beck, Michael Savage, on and on and on and on. They're hearing those lies over our public airwaves, and there are no responses in almost every major city to those lies over our public airwaves. These are, in other words, guys like Hannity and Rush Limbaugh, these are welfare queens, to use their phrase against them. They are enjoying the government largesse of the free public airwaves given to them, allowing them to spew their hateful and false bile to the American people, and any alternative voices, any opposing voices are being shut out entirely by the company, and our government is not doing a goddamn thing about it. And the Democrats and progressives who say, oh, don't worry about it, we've got podcasts and we've got the internet and people can pay for satellite radio if they want, they're missing the boat as far as I'm concerned. Yes, talk radio may be fading. Eventually, we may not have the right-wingers out there either. But I think that's going to be a long time before that happens, and it's an outrage that we don't have progressive voices out there available to the public over our public airwaves.
And two responses there. Number one is a simple agreement that this does reach the definition of vertical integration, and that's what makes a monopoly. And, Brad, secondly, let me pull back the curtain a little bit. I don't typically talk about some of my business relationships and the work that I do off the air. But I spent almost a year working with Jeff Santos, who is a progressive talk host out of Boston. And we worked to expand the distribution of his show. We got up to 15 markets And he did it on a bootstrap basis, where he had a couple of investors who were putting money into the company in order to expand, to build up the audience, and then hope to sell advertising to recoup that money. That's the way commercial radio works. Well, one of the targets was to get the Obama campaign to advertise on the radio show. And we built out the distribution to cover battleground states like Pennsylvania, Ohio, Florida, New Hampshire. And we were moving westward when one of our allies, and this person would prefer not to be identified, but I will say that it's someone who is a well-known Democrat who holds elective office. And this person set up a meeting with Jim Messina, one of the top three in the Obama campaign, went to Chicago at this person's own expense, sat in the lobby for an hour and a half beyond the appointment time, and then an intern came out and said the meeting has been canceled. And in addition, Jeff repeatedly had the chair of the DNC, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, on the program. We were on in four markets in Florida, and never did a dime come through in terms of, and we're not asking, you know, for slush money or something that was off the books or illegal. We simply said, look, we have distribution in the markets where your voters are. So it makes sense, and our rates are not as high as the right-wing stations who don't reach your voters anyway.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is that the Obama team doesn't believe much in radio. And we learned that when we went to the Denver convention in 2008. And we were housed under the escalator in the basement, and the people who rode that escalator got off on the main floor, and the first thing they saw was the Fox radio booth.
Well, I'll tell you, if it makes you feel any better, and I'm certain it won't, the Obama administration also doesn't even give a damn about the progressive blogosphere. They really threw most of the progressive blogosphere under a bus, not just the Obama administration, but the DNC overall. You know, years ago, 4 or 8 years ago, you know, they were advertising heavily on progressive blogs. And look, I understand. I'm independent. You know, I don't go down the party line, as you well know. So if they want to ignore me, if they don't want to advertise their candidates on my website, so be it. But there are a lot of other progressive sites, folks who really went to bat for Obama and the Democrats in every way. And, you know, they were really thrown under the bus. There was no advertising dollars spent. It's you know, and these are a lot of people who are, you know, who dedicate, I can tell you, an extraordinary amount of time to this stuff, and you don't make big bucks as a blogger, and you even have, you know, places like Crooks and Liars, for example, out there, which is a big progressive blog site. They make a lot of money on advertising. They've had to start asking for donations over there because the Democrats just did not, you know, come through with the ad dollars they usually spend, and this in a year of record ad dollars, you know. Post Citizens United, they can't throw a few. I mean, you know, they're spending literally hundreds of millions of dollars, and they can't throw a few dollars towards progressive websites who are out there fighting for them.
Well, and Brad, every time during the campaign, every time I logged on to the New York Times, the Washington Post, my Yahoo Mail, any, you know, broad-based, wide circulation website, there was Michelle inviting me to dinner. There was Barack saying, get on board. I mean, they spent very heavily on web advertising, and to ignore the voices who often support them, not in lockstep, but, you know, who are virtually, you know, or it's generally fair to say on their side, is quite remarkable.
They were, those ads that you were seeing were coming through the large ad agencies like Google. So they were putting their money into Google ads, not exactly you know, a progressive company themselves. So you might have seen a lot of those ads, but the direct ad buys from progressive blogosphere, from folks in the progressive blogosphere, as well as you point out, from progressive radio stations and shows like that just wasn't there. Apparently the message is, you know, go to hell. And they don't see progressive media, whether it's on the radio or on the blogosphere, to be important to them. And I think that's a terrible mistake, but time will tell, I suspect.